If by some miracle you're listening to this, that could either mean one of two things. Either we made it out, or I'm long gone by now. Whichever it is, my name is Jesse, and this is my story. I woke up to Ben pulling the blankets from my face and landing on my chest as I let out a loud exhale as the wind was pushed from my lazy lungs.
Come on, Dad, it's sunrise, and that's when you said the fish come out.
I looked outside to see the pink and orange sky and the morning dew covering the ground. I threw my arm across my face to let my bicep cover my eyes. I don't think I even got more than 3 hours of sleep before he woke up ready to go fishing again. But he doesn't need to know that. Even under these circumstances, he was still an innocent boy and didn't realize all the dangers that we faced day in and day out. He didn't understand why I struggled to keep myself asleep like they did. I had to keep myself awake and listen to the pitch darkness that surrounded our camp. I had to make sure nothing or nobody was desperate enough to sneak up on us and take what we have. This willow tree that we were nestled in helped keep us covered so it would be harder to see from a distance. But the dark does something to your mind. Makes you imagine things. It's been about 3 weeks since we got back from our close encounter with those two redneck scavengers and got our brand new, well, used fishing equipment. And just as I suspected, Ben absolutely loved fishing. And he's actually getting pretty good at it too. And we've been able to catch a total of 6 fish so far, and that's what I'm excited about. We're having fun, staying busy, and actually putting some food on the table, which allows us to elongate our stash. Even Lenny pretends that she enjoys going fishing. She hardly ever complains about how gross and scaly the fish are. She's only ever complained about it, well, about 6 times now. We're making the best out of our little nomadic life now. But there's still a few problems. For one, those rednecks saw what we're driving, which means that they know exactly what our little house looks like. And I don't know how far they traveled to get to that house to open up the safe, but I heard them say that it was their second time there, which leads me to believe that they might not live too far themselves. All I could do is hope that it's in the opposite direction that we are living in. The second problem is, well, I haven't told Lenny about the gun just yet. I keep it loaded underneath the driver's seat, taped up under the cushion with some of that duct tape that I grabbed from the old man's house. I figured this was the best spot to keep it because Ben won't be reaching under there for anything, and I can grab it quickly whether it's in the middle of the night or we're driving to town somewhere. I don't know how to tell her without her freaking out about it. See, the thing about Lenny is, before all of this craziness began, she was a family woman. She was more of the conservative side, but also had a bit of an edge to her. She never was all that fond of having guns in the house, and that one time back a few years ago when I did mention to her that I was thinking about getting one to put away in a safe somewhere just in case we ever needed it, she just gave me that look over her shoulder where her eyes became all mysterious and squinty, and said something like, yeah, I don't think so. But here, I got us a couple beers from the fridge, what are we watching? As she patted me on the shoulder as if she was saying, yeah, good try, buddy. And that was our entire discussion about that. So as cool and understanding as Lenny is as a wife, she also has her own beliefs and they tend to lean more on the play safe but make sure you're having some fun while doing so type of life. So I just haven't told her yet, but I do plan on telling her, I really do. I just don't know how to convince her now that it's even more necessary than before, even while living in an even smaller place where really nothing is out of reach. That night, as the sun was going down, Ben was excited to go fishing again before it got too dark and we had to focus on building a fire to heat up whatever it was we were going to eat for dinner that night. We also needed to stay warm somehow, and though the nights were starting to warm up a little bit, they were still getting down to what felt about 40 degrees or so. I was tired today. I spent most of the day chopping wood with that machete I had. That meant I could only cut thinner tree limbs instead of big logs, but luckily for us, there were plenty of trees and wooded areas around, so we were able to find larger limbs of dead trees on the ground. I also haven't been eating too much these past few days. I began to feel the pressure of our slowly dwindling food supply, so I've been cooking a little bit less, but still giving Lenny and Ben their typical portions. I've just secretly been cutting back my own portion, and I was completely okay with that. If that meant our food supply would just last that much longer, and they don't have to sacrifice at all, I'm proud to do so. But I guess that is why I've been feeling a little less wind in my sail today. But of course, if my boy is excited to do something, even if we are living under a willow tree with no TV, no music, and no comforts of our everyday life, I'm joining in. So we got our rod and started making our way down to the bank. First things first, bud. Where are the worms hiding today? We didn't have any bait, so that's what we had to make work. And it did all right. I mean, it wasn't any championship fishing or anything, but it was something, I guess. I think they're over there in that ugly tree stump thingy over there. Come on. Look! See, I told you there would be some. What are these weird green bug thingies? Not sure. But what do you think we do half a worm and a green whatchamacallit on the same hook? Maybe it'll look like a flaming young to these fishes. What's a filey minion, daddy? Forget it. What do you say we give this a shot? I didn't see any sense in describing how great Philemon Young was when we were going to be eating peanut butter and jelly tortilla wraps again tonight unless this fish thing goes well. We must have been out there for about an hour or so as Lenny was straightening up the van and getting it ready for tonight. There wasn't much light left, so just as I was beginning to collect all of our things and about to call it a night, I heard it.
Whoa! Help! Help! Dad!
I jumped up and out of my daydream and started running over to him.
We got one! I got one! I can't reel it in, help!
My shoulders sank. My God, I whispered under my breath with relief.
All right, dude, great job. You did it, man. Let's get him up here, what do you say?
With some help, he reeled the fish up to the top, and I leant down, quickly took off my watch and placed it next to me. This thing had to be at least 12 inches long. It was a hell of a catch, that's for sure.
All right, woo, he's huge. Did you see that one, daddy?
Oh yeah, baby, he screamed with pure joy.
Oh yeah, I sure did, bud. You did great, man, good job.
But we have to keep our voices down, okay? Remember? I saw his excitement drop a few levels, and for that I felt bad. But I just couldn't have him going around screaming and making a scene.
Come on, let's go show Mom the master fisherman you are already becoming.
Okay, but you have to carry it up to her. I don't want to touch him. We made our way over, and of course, she exaggerated her excitement to make him feel good, but honestly, we were both really happy. It was going to be another good dinner for us with plenty of protein. And I didn't know how to save any fish without a refrigerator, so this meant I get to eat a bunch too, and get my energy back up. It was really shaping up to be a great night for us. I forgot my watch. I'll be right back. Keep that fire going and get the good pan ready. We'll flay it and throw it on when I get back. I lightly jogged down to the rock I left it on, grabbed it up and started to strap it back on when I heard a branch break over in the distance. I paused and listened carefully as I looked blindly into the increasing darkness. I didn't see anything, but it sounded too loud to be a typical squirrel or a rabbit. I looked into the tree line for anything I could make out, but I couldn't spot anything other than shadowy shapes that I couldn't tell if they were just trees and bushes or something else.
Is anybody?
I stopped myself from calling out. I didn't want my family to hear and get worried. I gave one more look around and didn't see anything, so I started heading back. As I made my way, I was arguing with myself whether I should tell Lenny that I think I just heard something, or just keep it to myself so she didn't have to stay up worrying alongside me. This wasn't like us. We never kept anything from each other. We even told each other what we had for lunch at work every day when we got home. We really did talk about everything. We were super tight-knit like that. It came naturally for us.
but things are different now. This isn't Full House anymore. This is surviving. There's a killer virus that took out half the population and climbing. And the ones who are left are hungry, desperate, and without the normal laws and morals that used to be around. As I got back, Lenny spoke up. Find it okay? Babe? Hello? Jesse! Oh, yeah, got it right here. You okay? She asked with a slight concern in her voice. Yeah, I got caught up thinking about how the hell am I gonna fillet this monster fish Benny here caught? I gave Lenny the side eye accompanied with a slight smirk, and she returned the gesture. Ben jumped off the stump he was sitting on with excitement and hollered, I'll get the skinny knife, referring to my old fillet knife. That night was exceptionally long. I sat up along the wall next to the twin mattress that Lenny and Ben were snuggled up on sleeping. It was only a twin size, but the two of them fit well enough as long as they stayed close together, which was fine for any mother. And Benny boy, yeah, he never seemed to mind either. Good way for them to stay warm. This was the typical routine. They seemed to have no trouble falling asleep after dinner because they were all so full. And I would be lying if I said my eyes weren't as heavy as my stomach as well. But I just couldn't get myself to fall asleep. I couldn't get that damn cracking stick out of my mind. But things stayed pretty quiet other than a few howls from an owl and some gusts of wind that pushed some leaves into the van. All the typical nightly noises. It was so normal, in fact, that I must have eventually dozed off while still sitting up sometime in the middle of the night. Usually, I will at least lay down along the side of the mattress when I feel like I can't keep my eyes open anymore. But I guess the large dinner combined with my day's exhaustion got to me, because I was still sitting up when I woke up abruptly as I heard something right outside the van door. I straightened my back and tensed up and listened. It came again, but louder, and was it just one twig this time? Somebody was walking right outside the door. I jumped up, which woke Lenny up, and she began to say, What's the matter? I reached in her direction with my pointer finger and said, Shh, quiet, in a hushed tone. Her eyes went wide and laid over Ben, which then woke him up. Stop, he mumbled. Stay quiet, baby, Lenny whispered to him, which then got him up and alert as well. We all stayed tense, listening for the next movement, which came quickly. Shuffling footsteps moved again. Lenny exhaled as she dropped down heavier and grabbed Ben tighter. I rolled over towards the driver's seat, reached under it, and ripped down the gun. I sprang up and said, Grab something and stay down. I'm not gonna let them just walk in. I unlocked the door and jumped out of the van with the revolver in full extension, ready to spray bullets at whoever showed their face, only to come face to face with a deer and her baby feasting on the fish head and tail that we must have forgot to throw back in the river when we finished up. With absolute relief knowing that if deer were here, that there couldn't be any human around to scare them off, I lowered my gun and they scampered away. I threw the remaining scraps of fish towards the river as far as I could and went back inside, locking up behind me. It's okay, just a couple of deer, everything's fine. We forgot to get rid of the fish scraps is all, I explained as I tucked the gun back under the seat again and taped it up. Confusion mixed with anger filled her eyes as she elevated off Ben and whispered to him, Sorry, baby, go back to sleep. Daddy just got spooked is all, everything's okay. And once again, with almost no trouble at all, he was out like a light. Kids are resilient like that. That's when she turned to me to get all of her questions answered. Well, I thought that's one way to tell her. And just what the hell was that? It's just a small... I began to explain. Yeah, I know exactly what it is, but where did you get it? I found it at the house we scavenged for those fishing rods a few weeks back, so I grabbed it as just extra protection. Why? Do you think we're not safe here or something? Lenny asked, even though she knew what my answer would be. No, of course I think we are. This place has been quiet since we got here. But look around, Lenny. You know as well as I do that this isn't normal. Things aren't the same, and we need to protect ourselves. Protect Benny. And I'll be damned if something happens to us and I'm not just as prepared as the other guy. and just look at what happened at that house. Who were those maniacs? People aren't always going to be exactly neighborly anymore. Everybody is starving and desperate. The normal way of life doesn't exist anymore, and that boy right there depends on you and I to keep him safe, whether he realizes it yet or not. And I'd really prefer him not realize it as long as I can. We both paused, speechless, thinking about the reality of it all, and maybe quietly hoping the other would speak first to break the tension.
Yeah, I know, she said. And to be honest, I knew something like this would happen sooner or later. I know how you are. And with the way the world is now, I knew that you would grab the first gun that you saw. It's just, seeing it in real life is different than how I played it out in my head is all, Lenny explained.
Another pause soaked up the air. Why didn't you tell me about it? Since when do we keep secrets from each other?
I know, I'm sorry, I said. I really was going to tell you, but I couldn't find the right time and I didn't know how to yet without you getting angry and realizing that we really do need it.
Listen, I know how you feel about guns, and I understand that I can't exactly lock it away somewhere in this van, but we need it. So I'm sorry, but we're just going to have to realize how life is different now, and there's new rules that apply outside these doors.
That's a real shitty way to apologize. She cracked a smile, and we both let out a slight giggle.
I really am sorry. I should have told you. I won't keep things from you anymore, no matter what. Now come on, let's go get some sleep. You know how this kid is going to let this big catch today get to his head, and we're going to have to sit in on fishing lessons so we can learn his masterful ways. I ended the conversation without telling her about the old man that I found murdered in his house. Thank you.